Blog Talk Radio.
Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour, live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah.
Well, good morning, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. And I love this time of year because it gets me closer to kind of having to shed all of that. I'm not into the – I mean, I have some sweaters and stuff. I'm not into waiting to wear sweaters type of person. I'm into the – let's shed some of those sweaters and coats type of person and just kind of be a little freer. And so spring is springing soon this month, and I'm very happy about that. But one of the things that we have to do to get our house spring ready is, well, our helpful handyman is going to tell us what we need to do this Mortgage Monday. We're going to talk about the thing we pay the mortgage for, and that's the house. And Mr. Robinson, John Robinson, are you there?
Yes, ma'am. I'm on the line.
Hey there. Good morning. How are you?
Great rising to you.
Thank you. Oh gosh, I know you're busy, and I'm probably getting more so because spring is on the horizon. People are wanting to try to do a little bit more around their house, and when the weather really gets good, they can really enjoy their house. So, what's the main thing that you're getting tasked to do right about now?
Well, I'm doing a lot of renovations right now. I'm doing kitchens, doing bathrooms, doing complete home renovations, people flipping houses. They've gotten back into the move of things and you know, just, you know, people are spending a little bit of money now. So I'm happy about that.
You kind of have to, because if you try to find something new or something other than what you have, it's kind of hard right now. You know, you're fighting a battle with just the circumstances in general, you know, in terms of what's available, but then also, too, just battling other people, and especially those that have a little bit extra cash and may throw a little bit extra at a house, causing, you know, and pricing you out of the market. So you kind of have to take care of what you got. So you talk about the bathrooms and the kitchens, and that continues to be, I guess, the big money items, you know. But is it when you talk about renovating, let's say, a kitchen, for example, and you start, is it mostly appliances? Is it the cabinetry? Is it the floors? What is it that is the biggest demand right now?
Well, right now I'm getting a lot of backsplashes and doing countertops. I don't do the actual countertops. I don't actually do the countertops in the kitchen, unless it's you know, just the kind that you buy at Home Depot and buy at Lowe's. Actually, I have a guy that does my granite and does my quartz countertops.
So a lot of it has to do with kind of, I guess, maybe some eye candy, something that will kind of spruce things up a little bit, something that you know, may be just a little different enough to kind of make you feel a little bit more warm and fuzzy about your kitchen again. So it may not be all of the gutting. I mean, some stuff does require the gutting, but when you talk about backsplashes and you talk about countertops,
yes, ma'am,
a lot of that has to do with what catches the eye as you move into your kitchen, right?
Right, absolutely. Yeah, the backsplash is what's on the back of the countertop, where the counter meets the bottom of the cabinet.
Uh-huh.
And that's the backsplash.
Right.
And with, you know, I have had a lot of people changing out their faucets. They're going with these touchless faucets that they have out now.
Okay.
A lot of people they don't look at. They don't want to touch. They want to be able to just wave their hand up under there and the water comes down, but you still have to touch it to put it on whatever temperature you want it and leave it there. And then it'll be touchless after that.
I see. Okay. All right. So getting back just a minute to the backsplashes, what types of materials are popular that you're finding?
A lot of people are using glass, these glass backsplashes. They have so many, they have hundreds of different kinds that you can pick from Home Depot, from Lowe's, floor and decor, any kind of tile place. They're carrying these backsplashes that you can actually use.
Okay.
Glass is more popular now.
Glass. So I was just curious, is it more like a mosaic tile or those
Yes, they're all mosaic tiles.
Okay. All right. Because you see on a lot of these home improvement shows, a lot of them want to do that subway tile. And I just was wondering, is that a popular thing here? But you're saying it's a little bit different here.
Yes. I haven't. There are some people that are doing subway tile, but I haven't did any subway tile in kitchens. I've only did subway tiles in your bathroom.
Really?
And it's just of whatever the customer wants. If the customer wants that, then that's what I'll give the customer.
Mm-hmm. Now, with the glass backsplashes, how long do they usually last once you put them in?
From the entire
before you have to replace them.
You never have to replace them unless you want something different up there.
Okay.
But you know, when after 15 years, just like when they came out with the colorful tile that people have from having in the 80s that was in those houses. The loud pinks, the loud yellows, the loud greens, some of those bathrooms that, you know, they look good back then, but once time passes, you either gonna gut it out and end up putting something else. It's just anything else. It's just like a car. After a while, you want to get something new.
Right. And so, what are we talking in terms of price ranges, low end and high end. What are we talking about for some of those materials?
The low end is about $3 to $4 a 12x12 piece, and then the more high end can go from $9 to $25. It just depends on what you're putting in there. I remember several years, no, it's been more than several years, probably about 7 years ago, I did this lady's bathroom, and it was called Green Onyx. And the tile that I used, it was like $25 a square. So you can, it just depends on your taste. It's just what you want to put in there.
Now, when you talk about glass, I'm thinking about a lot of nooks and crevices and cracks. And if you have that above your stove, above your range, can be a little, you know, hard to clean, I would think, you know, with all of the grease and stuff like that. So I was going to ask you, do you have a recommendation in terms of how that stuff is supposed to be cleaned?
Well, a lot of people put the glass, because the glass is easier to wipe off. You actually use, you can use cleaners directly on it. And once you use the cleaners directly on it, you can just wipe it right off. It's just like glass or ceramic tile. No, a porcelain tile, because a porcelain tile is a lot smoother. Say like the bathtub porcelain. It's just like the it's the same consistency of what people have in their showers. It's real slick and real shiny.
Okay. And are you, what colors are you finding to be the most popular right now?
A lot of grays and a lot of browns. People are doing more neutral colors right now.
You know, and I was just, because I was thinking it might have been something maybe with some more patterns or whatever, because, like I said, you know, that's the kind of statement piece in a way, you know, something that you want to, that's going to, I guess, give you, I guess, get your, give your kitchen a little bit of that, the bling factor, if you want. But yeah, that does seem like the trend is more of a neutral type of thing. And so, you know, that's what I wanted to find out, is what's going with the kitchen. And then you talk about the bathroom. Oh, and you mentioned touchless faucet. I wanted to ask you, the touchless faucet, is that just the kitchen, or are they going with this in the bathrooms as well?
I don't know if they have them for the bathrooms. All I've replaced them is just for in the kitchen.
Okay. All right. So I can't imagine, though, I would think after a while, if you have to keep adjusting the temperature, I mean, if you have a temperature that you use all of the time, that's one thing. But I'm thinking if you have to adjust the temperature for, you know, if you're, you know, using water to let's say, thaw, you know, to put in a container to thaw out food or something like that, versus the temperature that you use to wash your dishes with, and what your hands can stand, and
yeah,
all
you,
that type of stuff.
Yeah, most of the time people have it set on hot. Yeah, people have it on. They normally just leave it on hot to wash those dishes and to create the soapy water for the dishes. But to wash your hands, definitely you don't want it that hot. So if you know, most time the hot water is not going to be instant when it first comes out. So you can pretty much get away with just washing your hands with what's actually in the pipes. But if you leave the water running, that's when the water gets hotter.
Right. Yeah. Okay. And then in the bathroom, you were saying that you do see a little bit more of the subway tile in the bathroom, and I was kind of curious too about that. I was surprised when you said that, because a lot of those shows you see talk about the subway tile in the kitchen, but one of the things they talk about in the bathroom, and I don't know if it's the floor or if it's the shower floor or whatever, but they talk about more that I guess that penny tile or that small hexagonal tile and stuff like that. Are you seeing that as well?
Yeah, that's normally what I'm putting in most of my showers, the penny tile. That's in, and also it feels real good on your feet. It actually feels like small petals, like if you're walking on a beach. I normally do the glass down. I do something called a waterfall, and I do like a glass middle piece going straight down the wall as a centerpiece, and on the floors I do the pennies, so that when the person walks on the floors, they're comfortable. I mean, it feels real good on their feet.
Okay. Are you I'm sorry, go ahead, please.
What I was going to say about the backsplash, go back to the kitchen. What people are doing now is when they're putting those countertops in, they don't put that little 4-inch lip on the countertops. If they're going to do backsplash, if they already know they're going to do backsplash, they normally run backsplash all the way down to the bottom of the counter. So once you do those counters, you have to, it looks better if you let it flow all the way down.
I see. Yeah. Yeah. Because you don't. That it just looks a little bit too narrow in terms of a backslash.
Yes,
you know, you kind of want a little bit more room. One last question. I'll let you go because I know you're busy. Are you seeing quite a few people taking out bathtubs and replacing them with just the showers? I see that as a trend on some of these shows. And me personally, I need my bathtub. But, you know, what are you seeing?
Well, I've always heard people have to keep one tub in the house.
Mm-hmm.
I've pulled out plenty of tubs, but most people, they keep one tub in the house for resale. It's just like they want to have a bathtub in the house. But I did do some houses where the people, they were like, well, we're not going to be selling our house. We're keeping the house forever. And I've taken tubs out and put the walk-in showers. I've put showers that have seats in them. I've put showers that are like into the floor where you walk down into them. I've done the kind where you have for the military vets that were in wheelchairs where you could do the roll-ins. I've done all types of showers.
Okay. All right. Yeah, because I got to have my weekly soak in a tub. And also, too,
if
you have families, you need one tub for the kids and babies, you know.
Right,
so.
Absolutely.
And well, not real small babies, but yeah. So anyway, how do we reach you, sir?
Well, you can reach me at 1-800. I'm going to look at the number. I don't know about her. 793-0843. Yeah, I just know my personal number by heart. I don't know my answer number by heart. But it's 1-800-793-0843. And that goes through the secretary. And this is John Robinson. I'm with Robinson Works and Graphics.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Robinson. Appreciate it. You have a blessed day and happy spring. I know it's early, but, you know, enjoy the season. Talk to you soon.
Okay, thank you. All right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And when we come back, we are going to talk with Jabir Najeer Rajan Mortgage. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
Hi. I'm Tim Garrison. You may know me as Timmy G. Yeah, I know. It's been 2 decades, but I want you to know I'm back in the Arglitex. And I've got a mix of music that can help you relax and chill out. It's smooth. It's relaxing. It's chill out jazz. The soulful mix of smooth jazz, soul, and smooth R&B. So join me every Wednesday night, 10 p.m. to midnight, on K-Ham Radio.
Are you chillin'?
Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you, caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.
Good morning. Welcome back to G's Power Hour. I never had it so good entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. And we want to thank Mr. John Robinson, our helpful handyman. And we're going to post his information on G's Power Hour Facebook page. But in the meantime, welcome back to our Mortgage Monday guru, Jabir Najeer of Rajan Mortgage. How you doing?
I am doing good. Thanks for having me again on this Mortgage Monday. How about yourself? How's everything going, Gretchen?
It's going well. It's going well, especially when we get to have you back to kind of give us an update. And I know things are really kind of interesting right about now, right?
Yes. Yes.
There's
been a lot going on since last time we spoke. And, with rates rising, the war in Ukraine, which is also shaking the market.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
there's just a lot going on. So, I don't know. How is that war in Ukraine affecting us, and what are the are there any predictions in terms of what, you know, kind of impact this is going to have on us down the road?
Well, there's two parts to it. So when it comes to the immediate effects, what we see in rates, rates have kind of been all over the place. One day rates are getting better, the next day rates are getting worse, depending on where the stock market is. So typically, or generally speaking, it's not necessarily a set in stone rule, but a lot of times whenever the market is down, the 10-year bond may go down, which results in better interest rates. And then the next day, there's a little bit more confidence in the market, and the rates actually become higher. So it's really kind of day by day, depending on, you know, what news comes out. But once everything kind of started kicking off with the war, we did see rates start to decrease a little bit. And then Powell made an announcement saying that he still expects to increase rates on March 16th, which is the next Fed meeting. And it could go up by about a quarter of a point. So the markets did kind of, you know, rally that day, and the rates actually increased quite a bit. And then, like, 2 days later, they start to settle down a little bit. So I think that the market is just very, very confused with what's going on right now, because different type of news is coming from different angles, some bad, some good. But then I think that when it comes to just home prices, even for new builds, that type of stuff in the future. I mean, not even just, I mean, we're speaking about homes, but even other areas such as crops and other imports or exports, it could affect us. But keeping on housing, when it comes to materials or the supply chain or just energy, the thing is that everything costs energy, from driving our cars daily to the truck that needs to deliver the lumber for a new build, the generators, the electricity used to actually build the homes, has actually increased. The energy costs are actually going up due to this war. So naturally, anything that, you know, that it needs energy to build is going to go up. And of course, if the builders it's costing the builders more, then they're going to pass on those costs over to the buyers. So overall,
I was going to say we are already having enough of an issue with supply chain issues prior to this.
Yep.
So this is
it could become worse. I was actually reading something a little earlier getting off subject of housing, but just to give an example where a wheat farmer in the U.S. Was discussing how much this war may affect wheat prices for us. And that's because Ukraine and Russia, they actually export so much of their wheat. He said right now it's important for the Russian farmers, wheat farmers, to fertilize their farms, their crop at this time of the year. So in the future, when it comes time to, you know, reap the benefits of, you know, taking care of the crops now, that, you know, they'll be able to harvest. So in the future, if we don't have the wheat coming from Russia because they weren't able to fertilize their crops, or the fertilizer is even more expensive, then those costs get, you know, passed on to us in the grocery stores because our U.S. farmers, they can't supply everything for the U.S. So it just goes along, you know, just it gets passed down in every single area of our lives that you could think of because we just need energy to move everything.
Good time to modify that diet and get rid of those carbs, man. But anyway, I wanted to talk to you about, you know, the like you were talking about, the rates going up and down. How much of a difference when we're looking at the difference between the highs and the lows, is it enough to kind of put you on pause, or are the rates still relatively good? Regardless?
Well, I would definitely say the rates are relatively good for sure. Right now we're still seeing a lot of stuff in the threes, even if it's the high threes. I think that we kind of got spoiled over the last 2 years, and we're used to seeing 2.4, 2.5, 2.75, and it just became the norm. Where, you know, I remember when I first got into business back in 2004, anything in the fives were considered great. You know, we had rates in the sixes, and people were happy about it. You know, if you heard of anybody at a 4.99, you didn't believe them that they could get something so low. And then, you know, depending on what goes on in the economy, you know, housing crash, recession, COVID, you know, pandemic, all that kind of stuff, you know, it swings the market one way or the other. But if you look at the overall history of rates, we still are at a low point in interest rates. So it's not, if you are in the market, it's definitely something I would suggest that if you're looking to purchase to lock something in, because I cannot say that we're not going to go into the fours and possibly even fives into the future. So whatever that home that you're looking at now, that, you know, whatever your budget is, if it's 1800, you know, it may be 2200 in the future. So if that $400 is going to really make or break you when it comes to purchasing a home, then maybe something you may want to look into now. Because once this war passes on, I mean, who knows how long this thing is going to go on.
Right.
They're definitely have agreed that they need to raise rates because of, you know, world records or history records of inflation in the United States. So they have to get that under control. You know, so yes, we do see housing prices rising. We do see food costs rising. And part of it, yes, is that prices are increasing, but part of it's also just that our dollar is worth less. You need more dollars to buy what you used to buy 2 years ago. So it's a combination between rising house prices because of shortages or, you know, higher demand. But part of it is just that the dollar's not worth today what it was 2 years ago. So you need more of those to make up for it. And, you know, we could get into a whole another show on why part of it is due to the pandemic, where a lot of money was actually pumped into the economy. Once you have so much money, think about it. If something is very rare, then it's worth more. But when you have a surplus of something, it's worth less. It's like, you know, even if you, the individual, didn't get checks, there's a lot of people that are in certain businesses that their business flourished. Let's take something super simple, the fish store. During the pandemic, you know, I go to the same fish market for the last maybe 5-6 years now, and they were sold out of certain, you know, some – lobster tails, crabs, you know, salmon, like all these fish, they start becoming sold out of. So even those businesses, because other people had money coming in, even that particular business didn't receive a check from the government, because a lot more people were spending, that business flourished. So, you know, we could get to a whole other store show just covering that all together. But, you know, on the basis of it, you know, the surplus of money into the economy definitely costs, you know, record inflation, which you have to get under control. So we're just kind of hit from two sides of it, trying to get inflation under control and having the war going on at the same time. It's just has everything in a little bit, the market in general, a little confused on which way to go.
Yeah, you're talking about seafood and lobster. I was in Sam's earlier this morning and saw a package of lobster tails or whatever, 5-pound package for almost $170, and I had to do a double take.
Wow.
Like, what? So that won't be happening anytime soon. I want to ask you, though, going back to Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell, I wanted to ask about if you could possibly explain what he's talking about when he talks about, I saw in this article on Money Watch, a 25 basis point increase. What is that?
Yeah, so when we 25 basis points is basically a quarter point. So a quarter of a percentage point. So a lot of times when we speak of a rate, we speak in basis points. So 100 basis points would be one full interest rate hike.
Okay.
Now, one thing to keep in mind is that when the Feds raise interest rates, they're not actually raising mortgage interest rates. They're raising the rate at which banks borrow from banks. Of course, if it costs the banks more to borrow money, they're going to pass those costs onto the buyer, or to the borrower, I should say. So this is not just mortgage interest rates, but these are car rates, credit card rates, anything when it comes to borrowing, you're gonna see an increase. Now, just because they increase the rates a quarter point doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to see a quarter point increase. You could see an eighth of a point if the banks have a little bit more margin. But the banks are already running on thin margins. They may increase it three-eighths of a point. So the important thing to keep in mind is that the mortgage interest rates or any interest rate that's strictly tied to the federal funds rate, which mm-hmm. when Powell increases or decreases it. But there are other things in the market. If the market is very bearish on the economy and they consider the economy to be high risk, then the banks are just going to increase interest rates because if their margins aren't wide enough, then they have higher risk and they want to make sure there's a little bit more of a cushion there for them. So when it comes to the interest rates in general, it's, the federal funds rate is one thing to keep in mind, but I would say the thing to keep in watch closer is the 10-year treasury rate because that literally changes every day. Actually, pretty much every second it changes. Hopefully in small increments as opposed to big increments. But that mm-hmm. is a better indicator of how the market feels today. Because when the Fed decided to raise the interest rate, they said they raised the rates on March 16th, it may be a whole month before they meet again to decide if they're going to increase the rate or announce, I should say, if they're going to announce that they're going to increase or decrease the rates. But depending on what goes on in the world, I was going to say in the U.S., but really in the world, as we see the Ukraine war, the market has a different feeling pretty much every day. If not, sometimes they feel a certain way about the war in the morning, and it may totally change in the afternoon. So the 10-year treasury rate is a better thing to watch. So when you see that thing going up, that you could believe that interest rates are rising.
All right, so a little more insight in terms of how the war and the economy are impacting the mortgage rates. So we're going to talk a little bit more. I want to ask you about something else I saw about, this new law regarding condos. So we'll talk about that with Jabir Najeer of Rajon Mortgage when we come back. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we'll be right back. Does it appear the long arm of the law is working against you instead of for you? Whom do you call when the boys in blue are pursuing you? When the wrong person behind bars may end up being you? With over 40 years combined legal expertise, Anderson & Welch bring to bear a smart, sound, sensible defense of those caught in what may be the unrelenting grip of the legal system. Turn to Anderson & Welch first to get ahead of trouble, not fall into it, by calling 561-832-3386. That's 561-832-3386. That's Anderson & Welch Law Firm online at andersonandwelch.com. Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. And we're here with Jabir Najeer of Rajon Mortgage. If you have a question, the number is 516-387-1944. And so it seems that in the wake of the condo collapse in South Florida, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac have new rules covering condo loans, which, I mean, getting a condo loan was kind of already kind of dicey anyway, wasn't it?
Yeah, so with Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, FHA, if you've purchased a condo, whether it's a low-rise condo or high-rise condo, they've always had something called a condo questionnaire. And I know that a lot of buyers hate it because even if we're able to get you financed, if it's a non-warrantable condo, and the warrantable, whether a condo is warrantable or not, has nothing to do with the actual build or structure of the condo. Mostly mm-hmm. it's based on the way it's being managed, meaning how many owners are investors versus owner-occupied. Does mm-hmm. is the condo currently in litigation? Does the condo have 10% or more in reserves for their annual budget? So the reason is that you have to look at these condos as almost like a business. The way that it's managed. You have to have a management company managing the building, making sure everything is being upkept in a way that it should be, that they don't have any financial issues, because if they do, then the condo is not warrantable, it's not marketable, because your business of the condo isn't being ran correctly. And I know sometimes people are trying to sell their condo, have these issues. They're like, they love the condo, there's nothing wrong, it's a great neighborhood, but the financials don't look that great. Then you run into situations like unfortunate situation of the towers that fell, that they knew about some of these things that were going on, but they just didn't address them, or maybe they didn't understand the urgency, but nonetheless, it wasn't a surprise for the management company. They just didn't act on some of these things. So I know that at least in Florida, and I'm assuming other states are probably going to follow shortly after if they already haven't, but there's a Florida bill that would require condo owners to conduct inspections, say for repairs. There's supposed to be a searchable, and it's crazy that they didn't already have this for condos, but it's supposed to be creating a searchable database that have all the condo management contact information for the association, all their governing documents, all their financials. And basically the county would be able to create a searchable database with this information. So you know exactly what you're getting into before you purchase a unit in this big building that you have no idea how it's being managed. And, you know, it's totally different than whenever you purchase a home, because when you purchase a home, it's a little bit easier to conduct an inspection. And if you don't upkeep your home, it doesn't necessarily hurt, other than maybe values if there's a lot of homes that, you know, that have deferred maintenance. But for the most part, if somebody's not maintaining their home correctly, it doesn't hurt your home in the sense that it doesn't put your home at higher risk because somebody down the street isn't upkeeping their home. Or even with townhomes, for the most part, with townhomes, because of the way that they're built, if one unit isn't being maintained correctly, generally speaking, it doesn't hurt a unit a couple doors down. It can, but it's not the same as these vertical buildings that are, you know, so much is going on inside the building that you don't even have access to, or you probably have to get managed to give you access to certain areas of the building. You have no idea, because most people just go up their elevator into their unit or into the parking garage. They have no idea how the structure is being, you know, how the building is being upkept. So this is supposed to make it where we don't have any of these situations that, you know, happened, unfortunately, before. And Fannie Mae is cracking down on that. Freddie Mac, basically all the lending companies, because it's good. Basically, you want your building to be warrantable because it allows more people. It makes it easier for other people to get financing. Even if somebody already lives in the building and they want to refinance, it really hurts them if they cannot refinance because their building isn't being upkept and they have to take alternative programs that are out there to finance these homes. So it's definitely going to make sure that condos are better kept for sure.
Well, I kind of say it's about time that they crack down a little bit. Unfortunately, almost 100 people had to die in order for that to happen. But now the thing about it is that, now, do these just apply to, as far as you know, the older condos, or are there any of these condos that get grandfathered in, you know, and the rules don't apply? Do you know any of that at this point?
Now, that I don't know for sure, but I would imagine no. I would assume that new and old, because you want to know what's going on with the condo from top to bottom, who to contact, who's inspecting it. So they want to know all this. There has to be, if anything were to happen, there has to be, you know, a way to hold certain parties accountable. So I would assume, my assumption, this is an assumption, that everybody would have to fall underneath the new bill.
So are they building a lot of condos these days? I mean, like I said, is getting a condo finance, you know, seemed a little bit of a, I don't want to say a problem, but it just seemed like you had to jump through a few more hoops in order to get a condo financed even prior to this. So do you do a lot of condo mortgages?
Most of my mortgages are single family and townhomes. I do condos, but I wouldn't say it's definitely not the majority of my business at all or close to it. But in regards to your question, is there still building condos? Yeah, they're definitely building condos all over the place. It just comes across different emails all the time for me where they have different condos being built all over the state, especially in South Florida, not just necessarily Miami, but just the general South Florida area. They have major buildings going up or plans for major buildings all the time. I believe the Tampa area, I've seen some projects announced. So these are the areas that, you have a lot of people coming from, especially out of the state, and actually out of the country too. I'll include those. And a lot of times they want to be by water. So I would probably say a lot of the cities that are close to water probably have a lot more condos because you could put so many more people in a smaller area because you could basically build them on top of each other and give them all these ocean views that they're looking for.
Right.
Or city views. They're not always ocean views. Sometimes they're just city views, but they just like to, everybody wants to be in Florida now.
Right. And I have other questions with regards to that are more geological than they are financial. But so when you finance a condo, what is required from the buyer? More so than, let's say, with a single-family home?
Well, not too much more is required from the buyer, but when it comes to the underwriting process, the main thing that we need is the condo association's information, which that's a simple part. But from them, we need to get a condo questionnaire. And based on that particular condo questionnaire, the way it comes back, it may require you to put 10% down, or it could be sometimes 20 to 25% down, depending on the condo, because there are condos that are non-warrantable, and lenders are saying, regardless if it's going to be a primary residence or investment property, they're saying 20% down. That's just fair. There's no, just because it's a non-warrantable condo. Now, in Florida, actually other states as well, too, but FHA did, all my years run together, but I feel like it's been around 3 years now, that they did make it easier to get what they call spot approval for FHA financing. So you still be able to get 3.5% down, but they actually are approving individual units. So if you're looking at a building, you actually have to, and you're looking at unit 705, then you have to actually get 705 approved through FHA. It is a lengthy process. You definitely want a longer than 30-day contract for sure, because it's just a longer process with FHA to approve that individual condo, where they do have FHA condos and Fannie Mae condos. Well, I say Fannie and Freddie Mac because they usually run together in their approvals in most cases, where they actually approve the whole building. So as long as they approve the whole building, then you could get normal FHA. You could get normal Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac financing as long as the whole building is approved. So you don't have to worry about that individual unit. We still will need a condo questionnaire because we have to make sure, even though the building has been approved, that doesn't necessarily mean that they don't currently have issues from the time they got approved. Let's say last year they got approved, they haven't gone through the renewal, they may have major issues that came around in January. So we still need a condo questionnaire, but that's something that the buyer has to worry about. That's something that we reach directly out to the condo association and put that request in. Now, one thing to back up, it will cost the buyer money. That is one important thing. So the condo questionnaire, depending on the condo company, it could be $200. Some condos, I've seen $500 for a condo questionnaire. So that is a cost that will be passed on to the buyer. Even though the financing company is the one that needs it, just like an appraisal, whether they, some companies may actually build it into your rate, so you're actually paying a higher rate or you're paying higher closing costs. Or if you're looking for some companies that are just going to give you the exact cost so that way they're not billing into the rate, you're going to see that line item, for the $300 for a condo questionnaire that was needed to finance a property.
Okay. How extensive is that condo questionnaire?
It really depends on the condo association, but it could be anywhere from $200 to $500 for the questionnaire. I mean, I've probably seen a couple that's lower than that, but you should at least expect for $200. You may see $150, something like that, but for the most part, it's around $200 for the condo questionnaire.
Okay. Well, we're going to take our final break. If you have questions for Jabir Najeer of Ryajan Mortgage, the number is 516-387-1944. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
Having a wedding, reception, family reunion, planning a banquet, or some other fundraising event. Need to share your knowledge through a workshop or seminar, or it's a difficult time and you need to plan a wake or repast. Let us help. At our gatherings, let us reduce the stress and make the occasion memorable, treasured. Call our gatherings at 407-968-9387 or email ourgatherings@yahoo.com. Let us help plan your special event.
This is Douglas Dobbs of Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community for 29 years with quality funeral and cremation services. Honoring all religions and faiths, we have been here for many grieving families. Whether it's a complete funeral service with a burial or a simple, dignified cremation, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here for you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720. Dobbs. Dedicated to serving our families.
Hi, welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. I'm here with Jabir Najeer of Ryajan Mortgage. If you have questions, the number is 516-387-1944. Jabir, so have you seen a decline in the number of mortgage applications lately?
Yes. Well, in regards to people interested in mortgages, no, there's definitely a lot of people interested in mortgages, but an application, which means that they actually have a home that they actually apply for a mortgage on, yes, because a lot of people are not able to either afford the price point where the home that they have in mind, and sometimes they may just have to kind of take a step back and say, okay, we were looking at a home of this square footage in this neighborhood with this many bedrooms and bathrooms. So they take a step back and say, okay, this is not where we're at anymore. And they may have to reevaluate what they actually need. And sometimes they come back. Sometimes they just, you know, say, let's go see out the market for a while. But in regards to people interested, there's definitely a lot of people still interested in purchasing. It's just a matter of them trying to figure out where they're at. In addition to that, sometimes we go through the pre-approval process where we get them approved, but between the monthly cost of the mortgage and the amount needed for the down payment, which is definitely different than where it was 2 years ago, they may not move forward. So is there a high interest in purchasing a home or even refinancing a home? Yes, just that sometimes the benefits of refinancing isn't there anymore because the rates are increasing. So if we can lower your interest rate, if the rate decrease isn't large enough, then sometimes there's really no benefit in just decreasing your rate by a quarter point or a half a point. And when it comes to purchasing, like I said, you may have a certain price point that you have in mind, and then when you start to look at homes in that area that you're looking at, the payment may be $300, $400, sometimes even $800 more than they initially expected. So for that reason, you may have to hold off for a little bit.
Okay. All right. And then another question I had for you, are you seeing more instances of mortgage fraud?
Well, for me, no. I haven't really ran across any, you know, situations where I was even, you know, I felt as if there may be some type of fraud. But I will say, even though I haven't heard of a lot of stories, there are more situations out there than before where, because programs are becoming a little more loose or have become a little more loose on their guidelines, not necessarily just Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac, but there's a lot of the non-QM lending programs that are allowing, you know, between the bank payment programs, between the profit and loss program, I think we may have mentioned on the show once or twice, where we don't even need your tax return. We don't need bank statements. You just basically tell your CPA to put together a P&L to say how much you made, and that's all they need. And even though people will use that program the right way, there are others that are using it to their advantage and, you know, are able to get financing that way. But those are some of the stuff that you kind of hear about every so often. But I'm pretty sure there's probably a lot more going on out there than I probably hear about, just because when programs become so flexible, there's more, I could say, areas that underwriters could kind of overlook certain areas, and not on purpose, just because there's so many different programs available right now that you may miss something. And then sometimes you have audit teams that kind of audit files afterwards. And that's where it gets picked up.
Okay. You talk about all these programs and stuff. Do these programs get revamped or checked over with any type of regular or, you know, periodic time frame?
I think a lot of them are just kind of random. Well, in regards to the program, when you said that, I was thinking files. But in regards to the program, a lot of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac programs or guidelines are reviewed multiple times a year. Sometimes there's changes in the middle of the year. And with these other non-QM loan programs, those are the individual bank's own program. So you as a bank could say, hey, I want to lend to people between underneath a 580 score, and the only thing I need proof of is a down payment. If that's what your bank wants to lend on, then that's just what your bank chooses to lend on. It's not backed by Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, or any type of government entity at all. So you can lend on that. So that's just that bank's risk tolerance. If they say, hey, they want to lend below lend to clients below a 580, and all they need is proof of a down payment, if that's where that bank's risk tolerance is, then that's just where they're willing to lend on. Where other banks may say, hey, there's no way we're going to do that. We need to see proof of income so we know on paper that you can actually afford this mortgage payment instead of just showing us that you have the money for a down payment. So, you know, then you run into situations where, you know, we have clients that they may be in between jobs. They're like, hey, you know, I've been making all this money for all these years. I just don't have income right now, but hey, I know how to make money. Fannie Mae's going to say, hey, go ahead and get income again, and we'll give you a loan. But right now, just because you're used to making money doesn't mean you're going to continue to make money in the future, where there are other loan programs that have come about because of how much properties are appreciating. The real estate market is going great. There's a high demand for houses. They're saying, hey, you know what? If you could just provide, you know, XYZ instead of provide documentation, you know, maybe asset depletion. You have enough assets, we'll show that you have enough money in the bank to make payments for X amount of months or years, we'll give you a loan based on that. That doesn't necessarily mean that person is going to go and spend the money somewhere else. It's not like they have to use the money for mortgages. They just want to see you have the money today to make the mortgage payment for a certain period of time.
I want to get into an area that I'm really not all that familiar with, and I know you, I don't know if you've been dealing with it in either, but crypto mortgage lending. Are you familiar with that practice at all?
I am not. Is this actually buying homes in the real world using crypto lending, or in the crypto in the metaverse?
Well, I came across this article with Fortune that talks a little bit about a crypto lending company that launched a crypto mortgage department where clients can apply to receive a loan to buy U.S. real estate if they put up an equivalent amount of money in Bitcoin. That just seems a little tricky to me.
I was just curious. So maybe that's something we can talk about at a future date to see how that works. But in the meantime, I know you guys got enough to kind of follow with what's going on in the Ukraine. So what kind of, I guess what I would say makes you nervous, or are you keeping your eye on that it would impact the mortgage industry from what's going on in the Ukraine?
Really, it's just the length of time that this war goes on, and the longer it goes on, is the longer it takes for the world to get back on track in regards to their importing, exporting, because, you know, as I mentioned, and I think multiple times on the show, that we're all connected one way or another. It's gone are the days where something happens in China. Well, we all know China's connected with the whole world now, but gone are the days where something happens in Australia or, you know, South Africa or, you know, Germany. It doesn't affect us here in the United States. So the longer things go on anywhere, it affects us. So my biggest concern is how long will things go on over there? Because as we had an issue over here with inflation that we're trying to deal with, now we have something else going on in Russia and Ukraine that a lot of other countries that we deal with as well are being affected, which down the line it affects us. So it could cause, as mentioned in the beginning of the show, where energy costs is one of the biggest things, cause a lot of costs for us to increase. So that's my biggest thing. And then with the rates having to increase for multiple reasons, it could really, really price a lot of people out of the market. People who were already being squeezed could really say, you know what, by summertime, depending on how long this thing goes on, they may just really throw their hands up and just give up on the American dream of owning a home. The timing for everything just happens so quickly if you think about it for most people. You know, 2 years is not a long time. If you're planning on doing something and the whole world literally spins on its axis and pivots and starts going a different way, you're just waiting there like, yeah.
Gotta keep in prayer. And on top of it, even though it's a midterm, it's still an election year. Doesn't that usually have some sort of impact?
Yes, usually. So, you know, that's the thing I thought about maybe a week and a half ago. And, you know, sometimes during election year, but many times there's a big issue going on, and it kind of gets resolved around, you know, time for election or, you know, voting time. So somebody comes up as a hero. So that could be something that kind of drags out closer to or past summer, I should say.
I was going to say the big issues are not getting resolved, not thoroughly, not completely where you're on to the next thing. It's a couple years later, we're still talking about COVID, and then we just got a war. So, unfortunately, you know, we're just going to have to, you know, keep in prayer and keep our eyes open and ears open and fingers crossed and all of that. So, Jabir, thank you so much for being with us today. We really appreciate it. You have a blessed day and week, and although it's early, happy spring. We'll be talking next month, hopefully. Take care. Thank you all for listening. This has been G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Be well, be safe, be blessed. And please remember, all willpower comes from God. Take care.